Hey everyone, welcome to a special Lost episode of Pop Culture Rewind. Well, Lost as in we recorded a long time ago and just kind of put on the back burner as we were recording other episodes. But anyway, I bring that up only because, you know, you'll hear references to a movie or two that have just come out of the time or was about to come out of the time we recorded this episode, so it's gonna date it quite a bit. This is a great episode where we give our thoughts on several movies, probably the most in any of our episodes, so I hope you enjoyed as much as we had making it. Before we get on with the show, I do want to give out some quick shout-outs to some other podcasts that I think you should be checking out as well. Firstly, check out Mothershow, Houston Wrestling Radio, where we cover everything in pro wrestling, and now we even have a show on YouTube every Tuesday, so check us out. If you're a horror movie fan, check out Deep in the Horror of Texas, as they do movie news and reviews for everything gore. Check out our mates from the other side of the pond for their show, Video Negative, where they review terrible movies from the 90s and let you know if you should watch them or not. And lastly, join Manny and Aaron on their show, Caster Quest, as they review movies, anime, cartoon series, do wonderful book readings, and much, much more. Alright, now with all that out of the way, I think we can start the show now. So, here we go! Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Pop Culture Rewind. I'm your host Travis, and with me once again is Xavier.
What up?
Thank you again for coming back, Xavier.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me back. These are so much fun.
Oh, it's always fun. Yes, sir. Thank you for our listeners for tuning into our show. If you want to catch up on past episodes, you can find us at popculturerewind.podbean.com. Also on social media at facebook.com/popculturerewind. We're also on iTunes and Stitcher, so feel free to do a search for us on those and to give us a rate, review, subscribe, thumbs up, all the above. We appreciate it. So, with all that being said, we have a new episode for you today, and this is going to be a fun little show, I think.
I hope it is. I think so. I think it's an interesting one. I think it's something people need to know.
And it's something that's always been prevalent in Hollywood.
Big time.
Yeah.
To this day.
Yeah,
it's... This year, as a matter of fact, it's still going on in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we'll have some examples of that here in just a minute, but Hollywood, there's the originality in Hollywood isn't really always there.
Nah, that's not one of the things they're known for being original.
And on sometimes, in some occasions, you're going to have some, I don't want to say overlap, but...
No, yeah, that's fair. Some overlapping ideas... Sometimes they're straight up stealing ideas from one another.
Sometimes
they just straight up walk up with their gun tilted to the side and jack ideas from other studios. Yeah.
Yes. For all intents and purposes, we're just going to call this week's episode The Clone Wars.
Yeah.
These are basically movies that come out very very close to each other as release dates. And they're
similar premises.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, you'll see him, you're thinking, well, didn't I just see this movie? You probably did. It's just a different name.
Yeah.
So,
in fact, there's a whole studio that makes their living off what they call mockbusters, which you see these at Redbox a lot. A big Hollywood movie comes out, and then they produce a really low-budget one, take a similar name, and then put it in the Redbox, and people will rent one. They'll rent Transmorphers.
Yes. Yeah, I was thinking exact same one, yeah.
Thinking they're renting Transformers, you know. But those little studios, they're not the only ones who do this. Big studios are guilty of doing the same thing.
Oh, yeah. We're going to take them to task on this week's episode. So what we're going to do, I thought this would be kind of fun, to instead of just out and out just say a couple of movies titles, what we're going to do first is we're going to tell you the tagline, a small description.
The actual tagline?
Yeah, I'm sorry, not the tagline, but just a small little summary of the plot.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
but that could apply to even, both movies,
right? Yeah. So,
okay, that's cool. Some of these could be like long taglines. Some of these can just be like a two or three sentence.
Yeah,
or two or three words. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So, let's go ahead and I think the first one we're going to do is I think the most to me it's the most obvious or one of the most obvious of the clones out there. What would you say the
a CGI animated story chronicling the life of an anthropomorphic ant. I guess. I think that's fair if it applies evenly to both, right?
I think so. And again, these are movies that came out roughly around the same time.
Both in 1998.
And they're both CG animated.
Yeah. One is Pixar, one is DreamWorks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about Ants and Bug's Life.
Ants with a Z.
Yes.
Ants and A Bug's Life.
Yeah.
I remember these two. And again, yeah, you're right. I remember being a teenager thinking, like, those are eerily similar to. And plus, these are CGI movies. These movies take years to produce, to make. Right, so, you know, the whole time these were in production, they were both aware that there's a competing studio putting out. I wouldn't surprise me if there was a race to get these
out.
Oh,
I'm sure.
You know, you know, Ants, they're almost done. We got to get this out in theaters first. Otherwise, everybody's going to call us an Ants ripoff or a Bug's Life ripoff.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Or they knew that Bug's Life, seen as Walt Disney, Pixar, that it was going to blow them out of the water. So they said, okay, let's get out a month or two ahead of time.
Yeah.
Before they come out.
I think, is it Jeffrey Katzenberg, I think, who was the head of DreamWorks at the time, and I think he was fired from Disney. It wouldn't surprise me if he made that movie out of spite.
Oh, I'm sure, maybe, yeah.
He's like, fuck Disney. Here's the million-dollar question that we're probably going to ask, which is better.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what matters. You know, if your movie came out 2 months later, nobody's going to remember which came out. They're going to remember which is the better one.
Right.
So where do you come down on this debate?
You know what? I'm going to go ahead. This might be obvious. I don't know if I'm going to say A Bug's Life.
Yeah, I think most people would say A Bug's Life, although I got to give Ants an edge. It was a little edgier. It had the cast wasn't as cutesy-wootsy. You know, Woody Allen, Sharon Stone, Sly, Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah.
He even says to Woody Allen's character, what are you bitching about? And I was like, holy shit. He said bitchy. Gene Hackman is a villain. It was clearly an edgier movie than what
the
Pixar was
relying
doing.
Relying on the Hollywood name talent, I guess, or Hollywood
stars. And Pixar was coming off of Toy Story. Toy Story was an adorable film, very family-friendly. And maybe that's why Ants tried to be as edgy as they could, because they were trying to separate themselves from being a Bug's Life.
But I don't think As far as entertainment purposes go, I don't think Ants was as entertaining as Bug's Life.
Which is saying, because Bug's Life I consider one of the, not weaker, but it's not high on my list of Pixar movies.
Yeah.
For the longest time, it was I thought it was one of the weaker ones until Cars and Cars 2 showed up and took that place.
Was it Planes one of them too?
I think so.
Yeah, I lost track after a while.
Yeah. But yeah, I guess we're both going to say Bug's Life wins this round.
As far as
what's the better movie.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I'll buy that.
So that's going to be pretty much the theme of tonight's show. We're going to say attack, we're going to say summary.
Okay, this should be fun then. Okay, yeah. This will be interesting.
All right, so you want to go next on the list here?
Okay, let's see. Okay, all right, well, this is another one I think that a lot of people think of when they think of clone movies. Because I remember this summer, and I remember thinking, like, wait a minute. I guess if you want to keep it the tagline, an asteroid is about to hit Earth.
And we send
a crew in space to stop it.
Okay.
There you go.
Yeah.
And in case you haven't figured out what we're talking about, we're talking about 1998's Deep Impact and 1998's Armageddon.
Yeah, very...
very similar. I mean, how many asteroids about to hit Earth movies ever existed before these two, and they both come out the same summer, like a couple months apart.
Yeah, no
kidding,
I remember
right? As a teenager, I was like, that's suspect.
That's a, yeah,
suspect. All right.
That's a very specific topic.
There. Now, in my brain, I always lumped these as, what if an asteroid coming to Earth movie was directed by a man, and what if an asteroid movie coming to Earth was directed by a woman? Now Armageddon, do you want to come down which one's better? Do we even need to go through this? I think we're both going to say Armageddon. I'm not going to say it's a better movie, because it is a Michael Bay movie. We've talked about Michael Bay before.
I don't want to get it.
But is it a more enjoyable movie? Does it have more rewatchability?
I think so, yeah.
So in that respect, like, they're both on cable right now. Which one am I going to watch? I'm probably going to watch Armageddon.
Although, I think the thing with Deep Impact, or both of them, it was a time factor, right? Like, Armageddon had they had a week or two to prepare, or...
Well, yeah, when the guy... I mean, we got, like, 18 days
until
it hits. And I don't remember how much time they had in Deep Impact.
They had some time because they had time to plan and get, like, the best people, or the smartest, or...
Yeah, there was, like, a lottery. Because they were building, like, underground caves to replenish society in case mankind gets wiped out or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I remember, like, Elijah Wood, I think, is the kid who discovers the comet. Or the asteroid or something like that, whatever. And because of that, he gets a golden ticket to go live in the underground mines or whatever. I think what a lot of people remember about Deep Impact is Morgan Freeman as the president.
I think so.
Yeah, I think that's the thing that sticks out in a lot of people's memory. That's the thing I remember about
that. Was it Taya Leone in this movie, too?
She was in it. Yeah, she was like a reporter or something like that. Yeah. And I remember Robert Duvall was like... They did send a team into space to stop it. And Robert Duvall was like the last person who knew how to... I forget what, because even then he was kind of old. He was too old to be going into space to do this.
Like, in real life, they wouldn't send
a senior. I forget why they sent him into space, but he, for some reason, there was a reason. I haven't seen Deep Impact in a long time.
I think I saw it when it came out.
And yeah, I think it. I saw it back then, so that was...
All I remember is, like, they messed up or whatever, and... The part of it actually hit, and you see it on the poster. Like, I think it was France or London or
England. Yeah, I remember the trailer had like a tidal wave or something. Yeah. Like, clearly, something hits. Yeah. And I don't think it killed the whole planet, but like a bunch of people
died. I think it took out France. I think that's what it was.
Didn't Armageddon, or was that Rome? No, it was France, wasn't it?
I think so.
A chunk, yeah, damn, asteroids hate France. The asteroids really hate the French.
Or maybe it was Armageddon. I don't know. France got destroyed somewhere.
Okay. Well, all right. So, the winner of this round is Armageddon. Grudgingly. Yeah. By a nose. By a Steve Buscemi. By a Steve Buscemi. Armageddon. Okay, Armageddon comes out on top. Or by a Michael Clark Duncan. Or by an Owen Wilson. Armageddon had a great cast.
Had a fun cast.
Had a really good cast of people. A lot of good people in
Armageddon. Good performance from Bruce Willis, too.
Yeah, he was the bomb.
And that wasn't... Liv Tyler's, that was one of her breakout roles, I think. As a movie actress.
As an actress, yeah.
Because before she was like in music videos.
She was the Aerosmith daughter.
Yeah.
And yeah, this might have been one of her early leading roles. And
good role for Ben Affleck, too, I think.
This was one of his big starring Hollywood roles. Yeah.
Yeah, before he went crazy. And then got back on track.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Armageddon. All right. Deep Impact.
All right. I got one for you. This is a good one here. This is a movie about a famous Western hero.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. I know which one I like better, but...
Well, which ones are we talking about?
All right. Well, one was in December of 93. That was Tombstone. Kurt Russell, Val Kilmer. And then a few months later, June of 94, we had Wyatt Earp. Mm. Now, Wyatt Earp is actually in the movie Tombstone, but... Is played by Kevin Costner.
It's essentially a movie about Wyatt Earp.
Right.
Yeah. It's not called Wyatt Earp, but yeah, he's the main character. They're both Wyatt Earp movies. They're Wyatt Earp movies. There you go. If you want to sum them up.
There you go. Yeah.
Wyatt Earp movies.
I didn't want to say Wyatt Earp in the description, but
it's the title of the movie. Okay. No, it's funny that to say which is better in 2004, maybe. No, 2003, as a matter of fact. I was in my room, and then across the hallway, some friends of mine came knocking on the door, and they come over, and they're like, hey, you know, X, come over here. And I'm like, what? And they wanted me to settle an argument, and they're like, which is better? And there was a couple other guys in the room, too. They're like, which is better, Tombstone or Wyatt Earp? They didn't even say which is better. They just asked me, Tombstone or Wyatt Earp? I go, Tombstone. And they're, like, there you go, that proves it and everything. I'm like, what did I just walk into? And then they're like, well, there you go, that proves it. Apparently there was this big ongoing argument about these two movies, and they brought me in as like a tiebreaker.
Oh, okay.
And then the other guys, the Wyatt Earp guys, like, well, have you seen Wyatt Earp? And I say, well, no, technically. Oh, I hadn't even seen Wyatt Earp, but I said Tombstone was better. Of course it's better. Tombstone is awesome.
Yes,
Tombstone is like one of the best Westerns
movies
of our generation, I think.
I think so.
It's one of the best Westerns of our generation. So I think they were debating what to watch. And then that was the clincher. So like, well, let's watch Wyatt Earp. And like, you've never even seen it. I was like, okay. So I sat down right then and there, and we all watched Wyatt Earp together. And then when the movie ended, I was like, yeah, fucking Tombstone. Tombstone is better.
Wyatt Earp is just kind of long and boring and...
Kurt Russell or Kevin Costner.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Duh. You know, Val Kilmer as Doc Holliday is one of the...
I'll summarize it for you like this. Tombstone is our favorite of the two. Wyatt Earp is my dad's favorite of the two.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good way to...
Kind of sad, though. A couple years ago, I was at a convention, and Michael Biehn and a couple other guys from Tombstone were there. And they were doing a Q&A panel, and they were just kind of talking about the experiences they had on the show. And apparently, like, Michael Biehn, like, hated working on that movie. Like,
really?
Yeah.
But it's so good.
I know. That's why we're like, me and my friends were there. We're like so like disappointed to hear that.
It's Johnny Ringo.
Yeah. And it's like, dude, what the hell? You're like bumming us all out, man. Like, all you did was like shit all over the director and the everything. Like, he didn't like.
Well, there was a lot of like, the director would get fired, and there was a lot of turmoil. It's one of those weird occasions where you hear all this drama going on, and then the movie just happens to come out like perfect.
Yeah,
and you're like, wow, it's. But yeah, there was a lot of turmoil going on behind the scenes to make White. I think at one point, even Kurt Russell, I read somewhere, took over directing the movie for a while because they were like in between directors or something like that.
Hmm.
There's a lot of drama behind that movie. I don't know enough about it to get into it. But okay, that round, clear winner.
Yeah, Tombstone
by sure. By everything.
Yeah,
by a Val Kilmer.
There you go.
Tombstone. Okay. All right, there's one. Everybody seems to call these movies similar, and I guess they kind of are. This was a little bit. Some of these are kind of a stretch, but if you had to sum them up as saying a man's life is filmed 24/7 as a TV show,
okay,
I guess would be fair.
Yeah,
and yeah, there you go. Okay, and it's the Jim Carrey in the Truman Show
mm-hmm.
in the summer of '98, and then in the spring of '99 was EdTV with Matthew McConaughey. There's a big difference, whereas Truman, whereas Jim Carrey, he's not even aware he's
right,
being filmed.
Right,
the whole town has been created full of actors, and they're all acting around him with hidden cameras, and that's his TV show. Whereas EdTV, he agreed, and it's kind of like, it's got like a reality show.
Yeah, it's ahead of its time.
Yeah, it kind of did predict, it predicted all the Kardashians, all that kind of stuff. He's got a camera crew of guys with cameras on their shoulders just following him around,
mm-hmm.
doing whatever, while he goes to the bar, while he does whatever, And I think it's the first time Matthew McConaughey and Woody Allen worked together, and these guys.
Woody Harrelson.
Woody Allen. Yeah. I'm sorry. Woody Harrelson. Woody Harrelson. Yeah, these two guys have worked in a few projects together, and most recently True Detective. And these two Texan boys,
mm-hmm.
and they play brothers. And to be honest, that's the only thing I remember liking about this movie was them two, these two Texans, just charming guys. And I think Jenna Elfman's in it. And she's like the love interest, and I think the studio tries to force Liz Hurley, Ellen DeGeneres. Ellen is like the producer of the show.
Okay,
and I think she's trying to like create drama to get ratings up. I haven't seen this movie in a long time.
I think I saw it when it first came out in the theater, but that was because I worked there and I saw it in passing. I really can't tell you that much about it. I mean, I'm more familiar with Truman Show. But it's interesting about the time frame on this too, because it's almost a year apart.
Yeah.
Does that matter if it's a time frame like that?
Well, I mean, well, how long does it take to make a movie? You know, sometimes years to get a movie out in post production, all that kind of stuff. So if they're released a few months later, and sometimes some of these movies they postpone releasing them because they're trying to dissociate with the other movie.
Yeah.
It's like they're ready to go, and then a clone is in the theater right now. We're not going to release it right now. Let's wait a few months for that to go away, mm-hmm. and then we'll release ours. So I think the timing of these can go both ways. Sometimes they'll rush the movie out to beat them, or sometimes if they get beat, they'll postpone it. So, no, I mean, if they're within a year, I think they're worth mentioning. Yeah.
Okay. So which one do you prefer out of the two?
I'm not the biggest fan of either, to be honest. I guess I'll say Truman Show, because at least it played with the idea of, you know, what if your life was filmed, or what if you realized your life was fake?
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of like something heavy to deal with, whereas EdTV is just a reality show. It's a movie about a reality show.
Yeah, I tip my hat to EdTV because they did like kind of predict things.
Yeah,
but I think Truman Show. Like I said, I'm more familiar with it, and
I think they dealt with heavier themes.
Yeah,
I'll give it to Truman Show. If you know, gun to my head, I gotta
and
say.
I think at the time you got to think back in '98. I think that was a little bit different of a role of for Jim Carrey too. You think?
Yeah, more definitely. Grounded. That was one of his early attempts at drama.
Yeah.
You know, and still had a little silliness to it. You know, he wasn't entirely out of his comfort zone, but it was clearly he was working. You could tell he was trying to do something different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll give it to the Truman Show. All right, what's another one?
All right, how about a lone soldier trying to save the White House and protect the president?
Oh, Die Hard in the White House.
Oh, yes. we're talking, yes, otherwise known as Olympus Has Fallen and or White House Down.
Yeah, and this is fairly new. This was only like last year, year before.
Yeah, yeah. Matter of fact, Olympus, that came out in March of 2013, whereas White House Down, that came out in June 2013. But I think there's a big difference in these two, is the fact that one, not to say difference, but a tone, different tone in these movies, where Olympus Has Fallen was like straight up action.
Rated
no,
R.
No nonsense, yeah.
Rated R.
And White House Down had Jamie Foxx as the president worrying about his Nikes.
Yeah, okay. And come on, Channing Tatum.
Yeah.
As, you know. I don't know. I guess I'm not calling him out saying he sucks, but
so I'm gonna say, like, I don't want to be speaking for you, but I think we're gonna be focused more. We're gonna gravitate more towards Olympus. I think if you know our girlfriends, or wives, or anything were in here, they would go for White House Down because I think that's more. It's Channing Tatum, so I think that's the more of a.
Chatham Tating, my
Chatham Tating.
Yeah, I know someone who she calls it that. Chatham Tating all the time. I think it's cute.
Anyway, what do you think?
Yeah, you're right. I'm gonna go for the R-rated action movie. Plus, they both suffer from the fact that they shoehorn a kid into the plot. In Olympus Has Fallen, is the president's son, but our hero of the movie, Gerard Butler, he gets the it, within like. 20 minutes of the conflict, he smuggles the kid out. And you're like, thank God, we don't have the kid in the movie. Whereas in White House Down, Channing Tatum's daughter is a presence throughout the whole movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she is very annoying. She's really annoying in this movie. And the whole movie, we have to put up with her.
Yeah.
So that's just one plus. So we got A, Olympus has blood and cussing and action. That's another plus. And then it's got no kid.
And just Gerard Butler, I mean, I think for a few years before this, he wasn't really around as much as he was before, and I think this was kind of a good...
He did 300, and...
Well, that's what I'm saying. He was...
And that was like, oh, he's poised to be a big action star. Mm-hmm. And then he started doing, like, some romantic comedies, and he kind of started fumbling. And this seemed like he was trying to get back to being, like, a guy's guy action hero kind of stuff. And I think he did a good job in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
He kicks some major ass. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Aaron Eckhart is a president in Olympus Has Fallen, or is against Jimmy Fox. Who, as a president, did you think did a better job being president?
Well, if I say Aaron Eckhart, does that make me a racist?
No. Well, I mean, you already... Because Aaron Eckhart doesn't care about his Nikes.
There you go. Yeah. Thank you. Yes.
Okay, let's talk about... I'm trying to remember who the bad guy was in White House. Okay, you know... Okay, I will say White House Down... is better because I think it has a better bad guy. James Woods. Spoiler alert.
Oh yes,
James
yes,
Woods
yes.
is like the head of the Secret Service, and then he turns out to be the bad guy. And he's still working for a bigger bad guy, but he's like the movie's main bad guy.
Yeah.
As opposed to Olympus Has Fallen has this just Chinese guy. I forget who he was in Fast and the Furious.
yes.
The Asian dude. I don't even know this actor's name.
Ricky Yoon.
Maybe.
I think so.
I'll take your word for it. I thought White House Down actually had a better villain.
Okay, fair enough.
And then it turns out another, you know, whatever. And then Olympus, was it Olympus Has Fallen? Has Morgan Freeman?
Mm-hmm.
He plays like the sec def. Who's
I think so, yeah.
So you know, there's a good actor that he kind of lends some credibility to this movie. So yeah, if we're doing tallies, White House might have a couple edges here and there, but overall... I gotta give it to Olympus.
It's more of a soft flick.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's a good movie.
All right. Well, speaking of action, we're gonna do. How about this one? It's a. It's not an action. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. But a someone trying to be. I guess a mall cop. Just to. I didn't mean to say. It
oh
like that.
Well, the mall cop movie.
Yeah.
Basically, yeah. Some of these have very short.
Yeah.
Summaries. A mall cop movie, and we got two of them in the same year.
Yeah.
So again, that's suspect. How many other mall cop movies have we had ever? Zero.
Right.
We get two in 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously we're talking about Paul Blart and Observe and Report, or is it called Paul Blart Mall Cop?
I think so. They always market like that. Paul Blart Mall Cop, just because it gets.
Yeah, sounds... no, I've never seen Paul Blart. I've seen Observe and Report.
Okay, I've seen Mall Cop, but I haven't seen Observe and Report.
So I mean, I guess if I had to pick with a better one, I'll pick the one I've seen, Observer Report.
Yeah, me too, but it's not a default.
Well, Observer Report is, like, it's an R-rated comedy, at least.
Yeah.
So it's got that edge. From what I understand, Paul Blart seems more like family.
A little bit. I don't know. There's a thing, a love interest. He is a mall cop, but he tries to do whatever he can to get the girl. It's more of a charming comedy, rom-com, I guess.
Well, Paul Blart does have an edge in that it got a sequel.
Did it?
Or it's getting a sequel.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the trailer's already out.
Is it?
They're making a new mall. Or they've made a second Paul Blart mall cop movie. Observer Report, it's got funny moments. It's definitely, you know, worth sitting through once because there's funny moments. I think as a whole, it's definitely got its moments. It has its moments.
Now, Observer Report has Seth Rogen in it, so does that mean it's directed or produced by Judd Apatow?
No, actually. No, it's a guy named Jody Hill who I think he's the guy behind Eastbound and Down.
Okay.
Which I've heard good. I've never seen that show.
I've never seen it.
I've heard good things. I like Danny McBride. I think if I had access to Eastbound and Down, I'd give it a shot. Observer Report, it's funny. It's got some funny parts.
I'll give it a watch through once, but I don't know. Mall Cop, I don't know. It wasn't the best film. I kind of have a soft spot for Kevin James.
Observer Report has some funny people. It's got Anna Faris. It's got Aziz Ansari has a little bitty role. He works at a kiosk in the mall, and he has. Yeah, I just remember him being really funny.
You know what? Now that you're saying that, I do remember when the trailer came out. I do remember the cast. It had a better ensemble cast than.
Yeah, Ray Liotta's in it. And there's this big... The climax of the film is sort of an action scene done to... I want to say it's the Flash theme song, if memory serves. So that right there made it kind of awesome that they put the Flash theme song. I want to say that's how it went. Again, I haven't seen this movie since like, you know, it's been like 5 years.
Yeah.
Anyways, well... Okay, so you're going to give the edge to Observer Report on that one, even though you've never seen it?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, okay, so Observer Report wins. Okay. Okay, there's another one that when I think of clones, these two, I guess, jump to the forefront of my mind. And this is another one where it's a three-word sentence that summarizes them. Volcano movies. There you go. I guess I can't say any more than that.
Well, is there a movie called Volcano?
There is a movie called Volcano. It came out in April of 97. And a few months earlier, also in 97, Dante's Peak, which is about a volcano.
All right, well.
Have you seen both of these?
I've seen Dante's Peak.
Okay, I saw it when it was in the theater. I think I was working. We were both working there, right, when it came out. So I saw it there because it was free. And I think Volcano was also, I saw it. But since then, I've seen Volcano several times.
Have you? I don't think I've ever seen Volcano.
Tommy Lee Jones, Don Cheadle.
If I had, I forgot about it.
Anne Heche is in it. She's Tommy Lee Jones's, I guess, love interest.
Okay, someone's pulling strings on that one.
Yeah, sort of. It's basically like, I guess, the San Andreas fault. You know, volcanoes are produced by fault. Like, what if a volcano just sprouted in the middle of Los Angeles? With lava, with liquid hot magma just flowing down, Rodeo Drive, and that's the scenario. Is what if a volcano just sprouted in the middle of a major city, and that's the plot of that.
Okay.
the whole movie is just full of like firemen and people just trying to stop this lava from burning these homes. That's what the whole movie is. Tommy Lee Jones is like the head of like. Emergency situations or something like that. That's not his title. That's a shitty title. I'm ahead of emergency situations. But he's in charge of like emergency shit. And Anne Heche is like a volcanologist. That's not her job, but for all intents and purposes, that's what she does. And they've worked to try and save people from a volcano. I don't remember the plot of Dante's Peak other than there's a volcano in it.
Yeah.
Is it? Now, if memory serves, is Pierce Brosnan the volcanologist? And he comes to this town, and Sarah Connor is... I'm sorry, Linda Hamilton is... I wasn't even trying to be funny.
I know, right?
I literally called her Sarah Connor. She lives
it's
in the
James
town.
It's James Bond and Sarah Connor.
Yeah. Yeah, and this was post-James Bond. Yeah. This was like one of his big...
Goldeneye, right after
this
Goldeneye.
Was one of his big non-James Bond.
Yeah.
Yeah, after he became famous. So, I think he comes to a small town with a volcano, because he predicts it's going to explode.
I think so, yeah.
All I remember is there's a scene where they're where James Bond, he's got all of Sarah Connor's family, including, like, her old mom, and they're all in, like, this raft trying to get across this river or this lake, a lake, and the lake's, like, boiling.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like 20 feet from the edge, and they're moving forward. And for some reason, the grandma hops out of the boat in the water and starts to like pull the boat the rest of the way, and then
oh,
dies.
Yes, okay,
and then dies. And it's like, why did you do that? Nobody was asking you to sacrifice, grandma. That's the only scene I remember that sticks out, because I was like, what the hell was the point of that? They were moving forward. If memory serves, maybe there's a plot point, like, oh my god, we lost our momentum or something. We're not going to make it. So the grandma, you know, jumps up, falls upon the sword to save the family. But I remember thinking, you stupid grandma. That's all I remember about Dante's Peak.
So which one would you pick as a favorite?
I'm going with Volcano, because it's the one Volcano's a bit of a guilty pleasure. Okay. It's really cheesy, but it's got a soft spot.
You know what, man? I was going to say Dante's Peak just because that's Sarah Connor and James Bond. But you know what? The raft scene, you reminded me of that one. And because of that, I got to go with Volcano.
Okay, Volcano wins by a dead grandma.
Yes. Like, who wrote that?
Oh, God, yeah.
Okay, what if they made a movie about friends with benefits?
Oh, you mean like friends who have sex but with no strings attached?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. You think that could ever become a movie?
Maybe two.
And if you remember 2011, you'll remember both of these movies.
Yeah. No Strings Attached. And that one had Ashton Kutcher and Natalie Portman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The other one was Friends with Benefits with the...
By default, that means it had Justin Timberlake and Mila Kunis.
Yes.
Because I can't tell the... I get these titles confused all the time. I've actually not seen either of them.
This is gonna. This might be surprising or not. I've seen one of them. I honestly can't tell you which I've seen.
How do you not remember seeing Justin Timberlake or Ashton Kutcher? Ashton Kolchak, whatever the fuck that kid.
You answered your own question.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do we care which one's better or anything?
No, I don't. Okay. If I'm gonna give one an edge, I'll give it to Friends with Benefits because I like Justin Timberlake.
I like Mila Kunis. So.
Okay, so go, if you're going to rent one of them, go rent Friends with Benefits.
Don't blame us if it sucks.
Because we say so.
Okay, man, last night we watched a really great flick.
Great flick. Great flick. The guy is brilliant.
Yeah. So
bring us up. Okay, you know, a lot of people, I didn't think of it when I saw these two movies, and I did see both of these within maybe a month of each other, and I didn't even put together that they were the same, but apparently a lot of people lump these two movies, and it's basically, I guess if you want to say, a former professional killer, a former professional killer comes out of retirement to whoop more ass.
Pretty much.
There's ass that needs to be whooped, so this guy comes out of retirement to whoop it.
Punisher comes out of retirement.
Well, the movies, you might even be thinking, like, I don't even know what you're talking about. But
because they're really relatively new. One came out in September of last year, and the other one is October of last year.
Yeah, and they're both really good movies, actually.
So what
good R-rated action movies. The Equalizer with Denzel Washington and John Wick with my boy Keanu Reeves.
Yeah.
Both really good movies. I'm going to give it to John Wick just because I think it has a better style to it.
Very stylized. Yeah. I dug it.
I mean, there's a scene in John Wick where he's going through a club and he's shooting people, and it's very graceful.
Yeah,
you know the movements to it. It's almost like a ballet of murder. You know, the movie John Wick.
There's an art to it. The way he's doing it.
Yeah, and the movie was directed by a guy. I can't think of his name, but he is a former stunt. He's actually one of Keanu's stunt doubles, and that's how they know each other. And this guy, you know, decides to become a director, and it turns out he's got a real passion for it because he choreographed some really good action scenes. And I think he was actually Keanu's stunt double on the Matrix movies.
Mm, okay.
And there's a couple actual of Chad Stahelski, former stuntman turned director, does a great job.
Is this his first movie?
As a director? I think it is because I was reading an article about this, and it was intriguing me. Because I was actually reading a lot of people saying that John Wick is a surprisingly good movie. Like, people weren't expecting it to be as good as it turned out to be.
Mm-hmm.
It's his only directing credit. Wow. It's the first movie he's ever done. Oh, but he's also been announced to do John Wick 2. Here's hoping. Here's hoping we get another John Wick, because I really enjoyed this movie.
Yeah, man, I remember when you asked me if I've seen it, and I said I haven't seen the movie yet, and you like got disappointed. And so we watched the movie last night, and man, if you haven't seen John Wick, it's a definite recommendation on I think both of our parts.
A fun supporting cast. You got little bitty roles by John Leguizamo,
yes,
and Willem Dafoe, and there's a lot of cool characters in this movie. I'm gonna give it to John Wick, but I don't want to take away from the Equalizer though.
Yeah, with I was Denzel. Gonna say, what's up with the Equalizer? Anything, what can you say about that one?
Whereas John Wick is more like a mafia hitman who's been retired. The Equalizer, they don't go too much in his past, but you get the sense he's more like government, like maybe ex-CIA kind of a thing. And he's retired, living a quiet life, and he has like a passing. What's her? Chloe Grace Moretz. Is in it.
Hit girl,
yeah. And she's like a hooker, and he knows her. They run into each other, you know, late night at a cafe every once in a while. They have a passing acquaintance, and she kind of comes in one day with bruises on her face, and he realizes she's been getting like abused by her pimp or something like that, and that's enough to get him to decide he needs to start killing people again. The setup isn't very good, but again, the action is done pretty well, although oddly enough, he almost never kills anybody with a gun this whole movie.
But he's holding a gun on the poster.
He's holding a gun on the poster. But he kills people with everything but a gun, if that makes sense. He's like, he works at a hardware store, like at a Home Depot, and the climax of the movie...
I don't like where this is going.
Well, the climax of the movie is all the bad guys track him to like this Home Depot, and it becomes like an R-rated Home Alone. Where he's like taking everybody out with nail guns and shit like that, and... It's not a bad movie. Both of these movies don't have nothing in common is that the Russian mob is like the villains of both movies. And Martin Chokas plays like the main Russian henchman who's after the Equalizer. I forget his character's name. Martin Chokas, he was the bad guy in XXX. And he was in the Lord of the Rings movies. He's a cool actor. I think Antoine Fuqua directed The Equalizer, and he's made some good action movies, including Olympus Has Fallen, if I'm not mistaken, and Training Day, for which Denzel won an Oscar for. So these two guys have worked together before. He's also done like Replacement Killers and King Arthur. A lot of good movies. Yeah. Good director. But yeah, right off the bat, this Chad Stahelski guy makes an action masterpiece. Very reminiscent of like old school action. These both are. I miss R-rated action movies, you know? I can't stand these PG-13 action movies.
Yeah.
These watered down, you know.
It is kind of depressing, but when you see stuff like this, it gives you some hope.
Yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon. That's the TV version of Die Hard. Anyway. Yeah.
Wow. But yeah, hands down for me, John Wick.
John Wick. Great style. The music's cool.
Mm-hmm.
If there's any Game of Thrones fans out there... And seeing Theon get his dick cut off in that show wasn't enough comeuppance for you. Check this movie out. I'll say no more. If there's any dog lovers out there,
I'm sorry.
Okay, there's one I tend to think of sometimes. I don't know if it belongs in this list, but let's mention it. Because in my head, I was a kid when these movies came out, and I think I saw them both on DVD. I didn't see or on video. On VHS.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see them in theaters, so the time difference kind of bleeds together, but in my head, I always kind of lumped them together. I guess I could call them Mexican gangster prison movies. It's American Me and Blood In, Blood Out. Or if you're that one guy who knows it's Bound by Honor. And it's easy to lump these together. They're about Mexicans in prison. They each have like one white boy in their clique. And that one white boy happens to get his leg shot off, and it's like a wooden leg. That's something random that both movies have in common. So that I think maybe that it's the white boy with the one leg they each happen to have in their gang that I think justifies lumping these two together. If it wasn't for that, it'd be easy to say, what, they're about Mexicans in prison, big deal. But the one-legged white boy, they have that in common. So for that, I think it warrants just a mention. I'm not going to go on. Have you seen both of those movies?
I don't think I've seen. Man, I'm glad you said it earlier that you kind of lumped them two together, because I'm the same way. Like, I know I've seen one of these.
Oh no, I mean, I'm not saying I can't tell the difference. I know these movies both really well. I watched them a lot as a kid.
Yeah,
because I was like,
I need to go back and revisit these movies.
I think American Me is a better. It's it's better. It's more well done as a movie. I think the acting is better in it. I think some of the acting in Blood and Blood is really over the top. It's really over the top acting. Gosh, I think I could sit and watch Blood and Blood, but I would have to say American Me is more well done. Gun to my head, or a switchblade to my head, right, I should say. I'm gonna give the edge to American Me. Okay. On these two.
Fair enough. It's got Edward James Olmos. I mean, there you go.
Yeah, he directed that one also.
Okay, well, there you go.
There you go. All right.
By the way, a side note, when I worked at the video store, there were so many people trying to say Bound by Honor, but they kept saying Blood. They didn't know what to call it. So it was like, what are you talking about? So I don't know.
Willis.
What?
You said, well, you said what you're talking about, so I had to say Willis.
Oh, okay.
I couldn't not. Anyways.
Okay, this is I got one for you. It's relatively new, relatively speaking, anyways. But it's about what do you say, a Greek mythology hero?
Yeah,
Hercules.
Okay, whereas like okay, the Hercules movies.
Yeah, it was there you go. Much, yeah.
It's one of the easy ones.
But there was I think everybody was talking about Hercules starring Dwayne Johnson, and that
Who?
Was The Rock.
Oh, The Rock.
Yes. And that was, like, talked about. That had more publicity going into it, I think. I think more people were talking about it. But before that one came out...
Yeah, I was going to say, I remember the publicity for the first... It's called Legend of Hercules, or The Legend of Hercules.
Yeah, The Legend of Hercules. That's the first movie.
And I remember that one getting the publicity. Because I remember looking at the trailers, and I remember thinking, this looks like a sci-fi movie, like a TV movie. Mm-hmm. I was surprised to find out it was getting a theatrical release, that it was like a Hollywood movie. It looked cheesy. And I remember not being excited about it. And then when The Rocks came out, some of that lack of enthusiasm transferred over. It was like, oh, great, another one? Kellan Lutz, a lot of people remember from the Twilight movies.
Yeah.
He was one of the quote-unquote vampires in that film. I didn't see that one. I did see the Rock one.
What did you think of that one?
I was surprisingly pleased with it. It was surprisingly enjoyable. It was... Because I had such low expectations. A, because like I said, I was coming off a second Hercules movie. And then when I rented it in the opening credits, directed by Brett Ratner, I was like, what? I did not know how that went by me. I didn't know Brett Ratner was making a Hercules movie. But it was some good action, and it was fun. And I have like a guilty pleasure for Greek mythology. It's like a big thing I love.
It's fun.
I will say, though, that The Rock... I like The Rock, or Dwayne Johnson, I guess he goes by now. I do like him, and I think he's getting better as an actor. He just felt really out of place in this film. He is, I think, the only American actor in the film. So you got everybody doing, Ian McShane and Joe Fiennes and all these people doing accents, mm-hmm. proper, their own right, accent. And then you got this one American, and he doesn't even try to do an accent.
Really?
Yeah.
It's just him talking?
It's like him being The Rock. Mm. It's kind of like Brad Pitt and Troy. He's like the only American.
I was gonna say, is it like? I was gonna say, is it like The Rock and Scorpion King,
or The Rock? No, he's or Kevin Costner in Robin Hood, where he's well, yeah, I guess he also had Christian Slater to shoulder blame as these weird Americans trying to be British, and then he's got this bad wig too. He kind of stands out a little bit; is a little awkward because he's the American with the bad wig compared to these actual British people. But the movie was. Had some fun scenes, had some good action, and I enjoyed it.
Okay. Well, I have not seen The Legend of Hercules, but just looking at the poster for it, I don't get a sense that that's Hercules. I think this is some random...
Sorry, that fly has been buzzing around this whole show, and I finally killed it, by the way. That's what that
Did
was.
Did you?
I got, yeah, he's right over here.
Nice.
Nice.
Good job.
Don't fuck with me. All right. Can you get a picture of me holding it? Post it on the website? Okay, never mind.
But yeah, just look at that poster for Legend of Hercules. It doesn't look like Hercules. It looks like some random Roman soldier.
Rock looked big in this movie.
The Rock looked... I mean, that's like something that looks like Hercules.
He looked pretty big in this movie.
Yeah,
he's towering over everybody. Yeah. Physically, he made a pretty good Hercules. And I'm going to get really nerdy. It should be Heracles. Not Hercules, the Greeks. When the Romans adopted the mythology, they renamed it Hercules. But actually, it's Heracles, the glory of Hera. Hera's
okay, Mr. Wife, nitpick. Like, how many people
Zeus
calls it?
Having affairs, so they named him Heracles to sort of honor Hera. I'm just going to be a little nerdy there and say, okay, that was my my 1 minute of... I told you, I really like Greek mythology. Anyways.
Heracles.
Doesn't have quite the same ring to it.
No, it doesn't. Well, there is The Rock wasn't the only wrestler to do a Hercules movie. Hercules movie.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
And there's one that came out about a month later called Hercules. Yeah, Hercules Reborn, starring WWE's John Morrison.
I had never even heard of this movie either. I just came across it when we were looking into it.
This has to be like...
I never even heard of John Morrison. Is that that's a wrestler?
Yeah.
You know who that is? Okay. Yeah. That's his name? Does he have like a cool name? John, like The Rock?
John Morrison, yeah. You can actually hear us talk about that on Houston Wrestling Radio, by the way.
You talk about this Hercules Reborn movie?
No, but just wrestling in general.
Oh, okay, okay.
But, yeah, so I
think... That wasn't a theatrical release. No, though. That was like... I think that's one of those mockbusters that I'm talking about.
It has to be,
where they find out Hollywood's making a movie. And these are very low budget, so they can churn them out within a month or two. So they can time them to release them right around the same time.
Well, they did... I guess congrats to them, because they did it a month later, so... Aiden. Ta-da.
And I'm sure there's some people who have gone to a Redbox thinking like, oh, I saw a trailer for this movie. Mm-hmm. Let's buy this for $1. And then they go home and they're like, what the hell did I just watch? That was terrible.
Well, see, the Rock's Hercules is like slanted upward and this one is slanted downward. So there's...
That should be having a slant. Okay, yeah. Those are good. Okay, now there's one I wanted to talk about that I was... And this is another one that I... this is a special case.
Yes.
This is three movies.
The triple threat.
The triple threat. Yeah. This is the hat trick Hollywood pulled off. Actually, there's a couple other movies that were lumped together with these three. Apparently, there was like five movies that came out in the year of 1989. Hmm. I never even heard of the other two, and I figured three is enough to talk about. And one of these three I've never even seen. But, okay, a deep sea research team encounters alien or deep sea beasts.
Deep sea beasts slash alien extraterrestrial.
Sort of. Well, like I said, okay, I've seen two of these movies. Okay, well, okay, we're talking about, and they all came out in 1989, Deep Star 6, Leviathan, and The Abyss. I've never seen Deep Star 6, but if just looking at the poster, apparently it's aliens and it's deep sea aliens. So that right away, that's kind of what The Abyss is.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. I love The Abyss. It's one of Jim Cameron's early movies. And they encounter aliens. It's a deep sea oil drillers rigs, or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like a U.S. sub sinks.
Mm-hmm.
So their research vessel gets commandeered by some Navy SEALs. Michael Biehn, head Navy SEAL, comes in. And they sort of commandeer the oil rig so they can go out and retrieve the nukes that are on this. And while they're down there, they encounter some aliens. And we don't know if they're hostile or not. This was a big pioneer in special effects.
Right. This was... I always equated this Abyss as the trial period for Terminator 2.
The liquid metal?
Yeah,
it was like living water.
Yeah.
It was kind of what they were working with here. And now there's an extended version of this that's like 3 hours long. And I've seen that version so much, I kind of forget what the actual version is. Because it's they add a lot of stuff. And then Leviathan... I saw this once as a kid, and then I watched it again a couple years ago. Now, this is the... Do you remember Leviathan?
Not much, no.
Okay, again, it's a deep-sea team. Good cast. Peter Weller, Ernie Hudson, Daniel Stern, Amanda Pays, who you might remember from... She's the chick from The Flash.
Ernie Hudson.
TV show. Not the Flash TV show now. The Flash TV show from, like, was it 1990, I think?
Yeah.
Well, she's a chick in that. And they come across like a sunken Russian submarine, and the name of that Russian vessel is called Leviathan, and that's where that comes from. And these guys in their deep sea suits, they take a bunch of like a safe, they grab a bunch of boxes, they bring it into the ship. Daniel Stern finds a flask, so he kind of pockets it, and it's since they're Russians, it's vodka in the flask. So Daniel Stern, he's chugging the vodka, having a blast, and then they realize this vessel was doing like genetics research. And that vodka was tainted with, like, some genetic shit. And Daniel Stern sort of starts mutating. He gets sick and dies, and he starts mutating and becomes, like a monster. And he sort of starts killing people, and they become... It kind of turns into The Thing.
I was about to say, it sounds like The Thing.
Yeah, exactly. This movie is very derivative of better movies. Like The Thing, or like Alien, or like The Abyss, or something.
And, wow, okay.
And Richard Crenna is in it too, and this monster, and it starts killing people, and Peter Weller, and Ernie Hudson, and Amanda Pays, they get away. Also, there's like this corporate person who's up top, who I think she almost wants the aliens to kill them so she can like get it. Meg Foster, by the way. She plays like the corporate person up on land who I think she kind of wants this to go down so she can, I don't know, patent a monster or something. Like Alien. She represents the Weyland-Yutani thing or gotcha. Something like that. Yeah. It's a little cheesy, and like I said, it's very derivative of better films, but it's still fun. It still has some. It's a good like a B movie, like a good genre movie to watch if you're bored one night. Obviously, I'm putting my money on The Abyss as it's easily the strongest movie of the
two. Sounds like it, and you had me at Michael Biehn. So so there you go. That's my pick too. Out of all that you said,
it wins by a Michael Biehn and by an ILM budget of special effects. That's another thing. Is the monster in Leviathan is kind of cheesy. You never get a good glimpse of it. It looks very like a puppet. And,
yeah,
and it's very dated. Whereas those effects in Abyss, they kind of hold up, or at least the water snake does.
Yeah,
the actual glowy aliens, they look a little silly today. But anyways.
Okay, how about this? What about a movie that has where a man and a son or whatever, they swap places in their bodies?
Like Freaky Friday?
Like Freaky Friday, yeah. But instead of the mother and daughter, it's...
Oh, well, that's totally different. It's a father and son.
Yeah.
Well, that's a totally different movie.
It's like father, like son.
Ah. So it's like the same, but it's the opposite, like vice versa.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
See what we did there?
God.
I'm not. What's sad is I'm strangely proud of how we did that. Okay, if you haven't figured out, we're talking about 87's Like Father, Like Son, and then 1988's only a few months later, Vice Versa. And again, it's a father and son swap places.
And hijinks ensue.
Do you remember these movies?
I remember Like Father, Like Son.
You don't remember Vice Versa?
I never heard of it until you told me about this movie.
I saw it when it was new. And at the time, I was like, "This is just like father. This is like father, like son. Fuck this movie." And I never gave it. Fred Savage and Judge Reinhold are the father son swap, or vice versa. I want to say it's like a gypsy curse or something like that.
Aren't they all?
No, because like father, like son.
It was a camping trip or something, like lightning struck or something. It was a campfire thing.
Hell no, no. I mean, no. It was Native Americans created like a medicine that does
that's
it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I was thinking something else.
Yeah. And Sean Astin is Kirk... Like Father, Like Son is Dudley Moore and Kirk Cameron. And Sean Astin is Kirk Cameron's best friend. And his uncle is like a... He's worked with Native Americans before. And he's the one who knows about the brain transference serum. That's what they call it in the movie.
Wow, you remember that.
Well. Yeah. And they're doing some experiments at home with it. And they swap a cat and a dog's brain... And he has a little bitty bottle of Tabasco sauce. And then they leave it there, and then Dudley Moore is making his Bloody Mary, and he throws some in there. And when you drink it, the first person you lock eyes with, that's who you do the swap.
Mm.
And Dudley Moore, as always, is hilarious and brilliant in this movie. He is so funny acting like a kid. He's a chief of medicine. He's a doctor. So Kirk Cameron has to act stuffy, and Kirk Cameron's boring in this. I'm just going to be mature and stuff nose. Dudley Moore gets to have all the fun. He's the one who gets to stay home from school, rocking out to MTV at home. Yeah, Dudley Moore gets to have all the fun in this movie. He's the only fun about this movie. Obviously, I'm going to say Like Father, Like Son is more enjoyable. It's better because it's the one I've seen, and it's got Dudley Moore.
I'm going to say I'm going to agree with all the above, plus the fact that I never heard of Vice Versa.
Okay. So, Like Father, Like Son wins by Dudley Moore.
There you go.
Yeah. Late great Dudley Moore. Oh, you know what? There's another one triple threat that I kind of want to talk about.
Okay, go ahead.
These all came out suspiciously close to each other. Three movies, all within like a month of each other in 2010. Okay, what if in the world we live in, a person decides to... put on a uniform and become a superhero. A vigilante superhero.
Okay. I think I know what movie you're talking about.
What's the first... Okay. But going off that, what's the first thing that comes to your mind?
Kick-Ass.
Okay. And then there's another one that comes. Maybe?
I've seen another movie like that. It's called Super.
Super with Rainn Wilson. And then there's a third one called Defendor with Woody Harrelson.
Say that again?
Defendor.
Okay.
Not Defender, because he gets annoyed. It's Defendor. Mm. That's his superhero name. We've talked I guess if I'm going to say what's the most enjoyable, I'll say Kick-Ass is. It's the only one, by the way, that has a comic as its source material.
Yeah.
The other two, as far as I know, are original concepts.
I would think so, yeah.
If you don't count, hey, I heard they're making a Kick-Ass movie, let's make a movie. But Super James Gunn wrote and directed this one. A guy who also who wrote and directed a little movie some people might have heard of called Slither.
Right.
But also Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
He did this in between those movies. So if there's any Guardians of the Galaxy fans, Super's kind of fun. Rainn Wilson's in it. Liv Tyler. Kevin Bacon. Kevin Bacon's actually really funny. He's the bad guy.
Yes.
Yeah. I'll say Kick-Ass is probably the best one, but Super's worth your time also.
It's good for a once-over viewing, I think. But yeah, definitely Kick-Ass. Out of the three, Defender, I never heard of it. Super is all right. But I felt like it was trying to just straight up mock Kick-Ass. So I'm going to go with Kick-Ass.
Yeah. And Defender, it's not great. Woody Harrelson, he's a special lad. He's not all there mentally. So it kind of takes the fun out of him. Because he's kind of, I don't know, he's not all there. And Kat Dennings is in it. She's like a hooker that he kind of takes in.
I kind of like Kat Dennings.
Everybody likes Kat Dennings, yeah. Except me.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know why. She bugs me. She's a punch in the face. No, I don't really. If anybody's listening to this, you'll know that I randomly want to punch people in the face. She's okay in it.
Yeah.
Elias Koteas.
Oh, okay. Wait a minute. You got my attention now.
Yeah, he's like, what was I just talking about earlier? Like, kind of like Equalizer. She's like a hooker, and he's like her, not a pimp, but he's the one who beats her.
Okay.
And it causes Defender to sort of like stand up for her and try and so Elias Koteas plays kind of a dick in this movie. I saw it once. I don't think I'm ever gonna get around to seeing it again. I'll definitely want to watch Super again in my life. I've only seen it twice
that's,
ever.
That's probably because what happens to Ellen Page.
Yes. God, that was the most gratifying moment I've ever seen. That one shot of Ellen Page. I wanted to make that my wallpaper for a while.
We're not gonna say what it is, but yeah, you did.
Yeah.
Does that make it tops for you?
You know what? No, Kick-Ass. I still say Kick-Ass is a better movie. Kick-Ass wins by a tick of a child. So for that, I'll give Kick-Ass an edge.
And if you don't know what he just did, shame on you. And go back to listen to our past episode where we were talking about that.
I've been working on it. I'm still hesitant to belt it out.
Yeah, you did good though.
Thank you. Anyways. Okay, there's definitely a few more we can talk about. Some of these I'm not overly familiar with plot-wise, but...
Yeah, we'll just shout out some other ones here.
Now we're almost getting into like honorable mentions, because I can't get into these movies, but... Like an example, a cop gets a dog for a partner.
Oh, you mean like Turner and Hooch?
No, I mean like Canine.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
This is again, 1989. That was the year of clone movies, man.
No kidding, right? Yeah, there's a lot of 89s in here, yeah.
Jim Belushi and Tom Hanks, they each, and Canine and Turner and Hooch, respectively. I think I've seen both of these when they were new, and I can't remember a damn thing about them other than they get a dog. And I remember Hooch, I think he like slobbered on a lot of stuff.
Yeah, like
that's the only thing you remember.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure this was in both of them, but it's like I know in Turner and Hooch, I remember that one more. But you know, of course, he didn't like the dog at first, but by the end of the movie,
it's like leave the weapon.
Yeah,
I think Hooch is very suicidal because his wife was killed.
Yeah. You know, matter of fact, that's a good clone of that one. Right there,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Oh yeah, there was a lot of let's give a partner away. Remember Cop and a Half? Let's give.
I'd rather not thank you.
Burt Reynolds, instead of a dog, let's give him a little kid.
God damn, no.
The critic made a lot of good jokes about that genre of films. Like, let's give you get an alien, you get a couch, you get a dinosaur. Like, they were giving everybody a wacky partner. It was a funny skit that the critic, and they were making fun of these movies, obviously. Let's just find a wacky partner for a cop.
Yeah.
Yeah, dog, that's funny. Okay, which is better?
It's Turner Hooch.
You know, I'm going to take Devil's Advocate. I think Canine's a better movie.
Defend yourself. No, I don't know.
Because I don't remember that dog slobbering over everything. And nobody likes dog spit.
Touche.
There you go. So yeah, I'm gonna finally, we come down. I'll say K-9 is a better movie. Just Jim Belushi doesn't get the love that he, I wouldn't say he deserves, that he needs.
Yeah, Tom Hanks, he's got all
he's got plenty of love. Yeah. Jim Belushi, that guy needs some love. I'm gonna say K-9. All right. What else is worth mentioning?
Okay, what about a movie about a man who gets special powers? Okay. Powder? Got powder. And Phenomenon.
Yeah. I saw Powder in the theater once, and I think that's it. And I've seen Phenomenon like maybe 2-3 times. I'm a little bit more familiar with that one. All I remember about Powder is there's a scene right after he's born, and he's in his little crib or incubator or whatever, and I was in the theater, I go, baby Powder, and there was scattering laughs in the theater, and I was very proud of myself. That's all I can remember about Powder.
It's actually pretty good.
Yeah, it was an easy gag, but I remember snippets of Sean Patrick Flannery from, you might know him as the Boondock Saint, who's not Daryl.
He
plays Powder. Jeff Goldblum's in this. Mary Steenburgen is in this. I think if memory serves, his mother was pregnant, and she got like struck by lightning.
Is that what it was?
I think so. And so she has a baby who's pale and albino, and
That there's anything wrong with that.
No, not at all.
And you shouldn't teach bald. And you shouldn't teach your friends about that either.
And Powder has this disease where his head is shaved, but he doesn't have to shave it because he can't grow hair anyway. So, and he's like a genius. Like, he can memorize a whole book. Like, if you say page 347, he'll know exactly what's on that page. He's, like, ridiculously brilliant. And he can electrocute you. Like, he's got electricity. He's like, part Raiden, I think. I don't remember it. I just remember there's a scene where, like, somebody's dying, and he, like, just touches him, and he's, like clear. Like, zzz, like he zaps somebody to life. Does that sound familiar?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
I think so, right?
I'm asking you. And Phenomenon, John Travolta, he sees like a light in the sky, and then he gets powers. Again, he becomes like super smart. He reads a book and learns Portuguese in like 10 minutes, and he can memorize. He becomes brilliant. He can like levitate shit, but it causes like a tumor, and it, spoiler alert, he dies.
Wow. That's, yeah. That's uplifting. Okay, so you know what? I'm going to say Powder.
You're going to say Powder? I'm going to say Phenomenon because this was also in the theater when I worked there. And they played this really nice Eric Clapton song during the credits.
Okay.
And I didn't mind sweeping the theater, listening to some Eric Clapton while I was sweeping. So it was Change the World by Eric Clapton is the credit song. So for that reason, Phenomenon wins because it was a better movie to sweep popcorn to. Well, okay, I'm not going to say Phenomenon wins. I'm going to say that's why I say Phenomenon.
Okay.
Although, shit, Powder's got the Goldblum.
There you go.
Damn it. You know what? I like Goldblum more than I like Eric Clapton. You know what? No, I'm going to say Powder too. Because it's got Goldblum. And Mary Steenburgen.
Yeah.
Who I love. I love Mary Steenburgen. Yeah. You know what? Yeah, Powder. You're right. Powder wins this one. Rent that instead of Phenomena. You'll enjoy it more. I hope. Maybe.
Baby Powder. Okay.
Baby Powder. I really like that joke.
All right, do you got one?
20 years later, I remember making that joke,
and it wasn't the. I don't think it was the joke you remember. I think the responses you got.
Yeah, because maybe this is gonna sound sad. I was watching the movie by myself, and I don't know what I said it really louder than I should have, but I heard like he throughout the theater, and I was like yes. Anyways, so yeah, and you know what? For that reason, and Goldblum. Yeah, you're right. Powder wins.
You have your own experience with that.
Exactly. Yeah, so. Yeah, you're right. That beats sweeping up popcorn.
There you go. Okay. What about a movie where you go to Mars?
Like on a mission?
Like on a mission.
Mars. The Red Planet.
Yes.
This is going to be how we do this. Trying to pretend we're just rent. Oh. Okay. Yeah, you know what we're
it's
doing.
Okay. We don't have any listeners anymore at this point.
I think they left us at Baby Powder. All right.
Oh, they left a long time ago.
Okay. Well, okay, these are another two movies that
came out. Yeah, Mission to Mars came out March 2000, and Red Planet, again, November 2000.
Yeah, and these are both about missions to Mars, the Red Planet. You could actually summarize these both and put the titles of the movies.
That's what's been hard about this. I've been trying not to do that.
I don't remember either of these that well. I've seen them both when they were new, and neither of them impressed me enough that I've ever wanted to revisit them.
I think I remember Mission to Mars a little bit better because that Tim Robbins in there, and there was a scene where they broke out of the ship and they were in the space and I don't know. I just remember different things about that movie than Red Planet. It's so vague because this is like 15 years ago and I haven't seen it since.
For some reason, yeah, Mission to Mars sticks out more in my head. Garrison East is in it, and Jerry O'Connell and Don Cheadle.
I think I like the cast a little bit better too.
Yeah, I know Brian De Palma did it.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh wow. Okay, that's even more of a reason to.
Yeah. I just remember being kind of anticlimactic.
Was it like a white room or something? Okay. When they got to Mars.
I think they play with the idea that Mars used to be populated by like an older, I guess, Martians or something like that.
Okay.
And they come across a room, yeah, like an ancient room.
It's like a big white room or something. The doors open up.
Yeah, and it's like a hollow deck of a solar system. They're like walking through a room and there's little
planets. Okay, so I'm not imagining. Okay, all right.
And it ends, I think, because like Garrison East has got this thing throughout the whole movie, like, I want to see the stars or something like that.
Yeah.
I think like his wife dies or something. And it's like he has no reason to be on Earth anymore.
Yeah.
So it makes it okay. And at the end, he like gets sent off to go meet the Martians, but we don't know what it kind of ends right there. Mm-hmm. Like he goes to meet some aliens, and then it ends on that note. I don't even remember how Red Planet ended. I just remember they have like a robot helper that goes like insane and starts killing them. I'm not saying that's the whole plot. That's just like a part of it. With Val Kilmer and Tom Sizemore and
Carrie Ann Moss. I remember this came out right after Matrix, so like. I remember when this came out, I was like, okay, now she's going to be getting all the roles of the main action chick, I guess.
Yeah, I don't remember the I just remember that killer robot having to just, like, goes haywire and starts like killing people. That's it. That's all I got. But you know what? That sounds more fun than anything that I remember from Mission to Mars.
Well, that's funny you say it, because I was going to say, well, since I don't remember anything about Red Planet, I'm going to say Mission to Mars.
The thing is, I do remember Mission to Mars pretty clear. And I remember they killed Tim Robbins.
Yeah.
He sacrifices himself. That's what it was. Yeah, because Tim Robbins is the shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even in a shitty movie, he's going to come off as looking pretty cool.
But the ending was kind of lame.
It was kind of anticlimactic.
Yeah.
And Val Kilmer really was awesome as Doc Holliday in Tombstone. So for that, I'm going to throw some love to Red Planet just because it's got Tom Sizemore and Val Kilmer and a killer robot. Devil's advocate.
Yeah, you're. You know what? I'm going to stick with my vote, but it's the killer robot thing.
Yeah,
that's a close call, my friend.
Okay, it's like 2000 or whatever, or a Space Odyssey. It's like how? All right, was it last year or was it the year before? I rented a movie that I knew was going to be terrible, and we watched it together. And I thought it might be one of those. It's so bad, it's good. And it was so bad, it was just really bad. It was really awful.
Yeah, it's basically...
How would you sum up? Okay, there's another movie.
Okay, I'm going to say it's about an adventure of one person on a futuristic abandoned Earth.
It has two people.
Okay.
It has a father and a son. And I don't know which is more annoying in the movie. So you might still be wondering what the fuck they're talking about. The movie I was mentioning that we put on, hoping it might be a fun, let's make fun of, was After Earth.
That backfired on us.
I'm sorry for putting you through that, dude. Thank you. I appreciate you humoring me. I thought it was gonna be fun to make fun of and shit on, and it was not fun at all. Not even in a "it's so bad it's good" kind of a way. The other movie is Oblivion with Tom Cruise, which is a better movie.
I think so. Definitely.
Obviously, I don't want to say it's a great movie, but it's better.
But it's basically, you know, it's a futuristic Earth. It's abandoned. There's no more population on it, and they're like Tom Cruise is what, like a custodian. Like he comes down and he like cleans up.
I forget what it is. Why they have him there? He's like the sole guy. He like does his rounds.
That makes sure it's all like all the machines are up and running and everything.
There's something about that. There's like satellites,
like platforms. Or, yeah,
something about
floating
that.
Floating platforms. And then After Earth is he crash lands on Earth, right?
Yeah, like we've abandoned Earth. We've left it. And he's off in space with it's like an estranged father and son tale. Ugh. And Will Smith, whose name is Cypher Rage. Ugh.
Yeah.
Right off the get go, his name is Cypher Rage. And him and his son Jaden Smith. I forget the kid's name. Something Rage. Dickhead Rage. Crash land on Earth.
It's a bad name, like Jaden.
It's probably Jaden Rage. It's probably better than Jaden. It's stupid. And
we apologize to anybody named Jaden. Unless you're Jaden Smith.
It takes place 1,000 years later. And in 1,000 years, Earth has evolved.
Mm-hmm.
Evolution, it's slow.
Yeah.
Usually taking thousands of years. But every once in a while, evolution. Anyway.
Thank you, Professor.
Yeah, thank you. Welcome.
Professor Xavier!
A thousand years is not enough to create monster animals on Earth.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. That right there is stupid. They shouldn't have thrown down 1,000 years. They could just say this was Earth. Yeah, they should just say this was Earth or whatever. And let us jump to wrong conclusions about how long it's been. 1,000 years, that's not enough.
Like in Oblivion, it's like Earth is a memory. So yeah, that's.
I don't remember if they said exactly how long the time frame is.
I don't remember them saying, but.
I don't remember either. And there's like a twist to Oblivion. Mm-hmm. I won't spoil it. Because, you know, I think it's good to check out. But Oblivion clearly takes the edge in this one.
Oh, definitely. There's not even a contest.
After Earth, who directed it. M. Night Shyamalan. So, I could have just opened with that, and hopefully you would have written it off.
Yeah.
I hope he doesn't have any fans left.
Don't waste your time with that movie,
don't
please.
Wait. I mean, are there any... You know, if you're a defender of M. Night Shyamalan, please... Chime in, because I'm going to say I have completely written that guy off. I will not. I only watched that movie because I thought it was going to be so bad. For the same reason I've watched the last couple movies he's done, because I thought it might be fun to like make fun of this movie. Uh-huh. Like, what was it? Airbender? I watched that thinking it might be so shitty, and it was just straight up shitty. It wasn't even fun. On a mock... The last Airbender, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he did that.
It came on TV the other day, and I've seen the anime series of Last Airbender, which is great, and I saw, like, the movie, a couple scenes of that movie. They did a really good job of taking it from the anime to the movie, but it doesn't translate well for a movie. Leave it as an anime. Don't...
I remember a lot of people complaining about how they cast white actors, and I don't know, are they Asian... I don't know what the race of the card. I've never.
Well,
seen
that's weird. We're getting off track, so we'll say that for now.
Okay.
But you know, we just talked about a Will Smith movie, and I think
Shyamalan sucks. Okay, now we can move on.
After Earth, that was a Will Smith movie, and you know, we started off this list with a CGI movie. So why don't we end this with both a CGI movie?
And
a Will Smith movie.
Nicely done. Okay.
And this is about. Ocean life, pretty much like a fish in the trials of a fish, I guess.
Yeah, the CGI. Yeah, there you go. I think this is another Pixar versus DreamWorks?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah.
We're talking about Finding Nemo and Shark Tale.
Ugh. Will Smith fish.
That says it all right there, right?
Now, I was a little hesitant to put this on, even though this also comes to the forefront of my mind when I think of clone movies.
Mm-hmm.
But I was surprised to learn that these are more than a year apart.
Yeah.
I remember at the time thinking like... Or maybe it was because Finding Nemo was so good, it stayed in theaters for so long.
Maybe.
Or remained in my consciousness for so long that when Shark Tale came around, I was like, wasn't Finding Nemo just last month kind of a thing? Because Finding Nemo was... Obviously, there's no contest what's the better film here. Finding Nemo is a fantastic film.
Yeah.
And Shark Tale is Shark
Not.
Tale.
Shark fail.
Nicely done. Shark fail. Yeah, fuck that movie.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. No. Yeah, I mean, there's nothing to compare. The animation was just totally better. Mm. I mean, Finding Nemo is a beautifully shot movie, man. You could put it on mute and just have it as your screensaver. It's just beautiful.
I think that's what it's known for. Like if you go to like Best Buy and then like their TV displays, like they're playing like Finding Nemo.
I think the DVD I remember back in like 2004 or something. I think I put the DVD on. I someone's gonna call me on and say that's not true at all. I think the DVD had like a screensaver function option on the DVD, and it just was like an undersea. Image, you know, like it moved like an image. It's a screensaver sort of an image, and I want to say that that's the truth.
I didn't ever have the DVD of it, so I couldn't tell you yes or no on that one. But It wouldn't surprise me, just because that's what it's known for, really.
Or, you know what, that might have just been a dream I had, that existed. And that's the world I want to live in, nope. where Finding Nemo is my screensaver.
It's a nice world.
No, but yeah, and they're fine. 10 years later, no, 12 years later, we're finally getting a sequel.
Yeah.
Finding Dory.
The shark, and plus on Shark Tale, wasn't it like a music video or something for some kind of annoying song that came out with that? Some music video, some soundtrack song they were trying to release with that. Because it's Will Smith.
That might be. I wasn't watching a lot of TV. I don't even think I owned a TV that year. Shark Tale was relying a lot on like pop culture, trying to be hip like that. Whereas Nemo is literally like a timeless story.
Yeah.
I can't think of any specific jokes. I want to call it out. I want to bring Shark Tale to justice and let people know it's terrible. Now, isn't the plot like Will Smith is a fish and he owes money to like fish mafia or something? Because I know Marty Scorsese is the voice in it too. And Will Smith, like, people think he takes out a shark or something. And he tries to make...
You know what?
I'm fucking this up.
No, that summarizes Shark Tale.
Yeah, it's very unmemorable.
Yeah.
That it made no impression on me. Yeah, Finding Nemo, this is one of those no contest movies. Yeah.
And like I said, I think that was a good bookend to the start of this. So,
oh, yeah, yeah, that wasn't even planned. That worked out pretty good.
Yeah. All right, so I don't know. That's the kind of list that we came up with. But, of course, listeners, for those of you who are still around for this, if there's any other ones that you can think of, feel free to let us know. Again, you can email us, popculturerewind@gmail.com, or shoot us a message on Facebook at facebook.com/popculturerewind, or give us a tweet at @popculturerwnd. So before we wrap it up, Xavier, do you have anything else that you want to add on?
Just that Shark Tale sucks.
Mm-hmm.
I found it to be shallow and pedantic.
Okay.
That's it. That's all I got. All
right. And with that, thanks once again, everyone. And always remember to pop your culture.
That was wonderful.
Bravo.
I loved that.
Oh, it was great.
Well, it was pretty good.
Well, it wasn't bad.
Well, there were parts of it that weren't very good, though.
It could have been a lot better.
I didn't really like it.
It was pretty terrible.
It was bad.
It was awful.
I was terrible.
Get him away.
Hey, boo.